Before we get started, there's something you should know about the Chonilla podcast. We like to cuss. And if you don't want your kids to hear it, then listen to us when they're not around. But if you don't mind your kids listening to grown folks talk, then turn this shit up and let the show begin.
For the dollar store girl, I've been waiting all week long for the dollar store girl. She only works on Saturday.
This is so creepy.
That's the day I go shopping.
He's telling everybody when she's working.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't share the address.
By the way,
turn it up. It's not like bad. Like, it's, I don't know.
She's got a ponytail.
Whoa, now you're describing.
But I just love her stuff. I don't need no extra cotton balls. I don't need no shampoo at all. I don't need no hair.
Depends who you ask though.
I don't need no package of balloons. I don't,
you said balloons
no
earlier, dude.
Bands. I don't need a mop. I just wanna buy something from the dollar store girl.
She's not your girl. She's my girl.
Wait, what?
I wait around the corner for the dollar store girl.
She said a dollar. I said, how much is that hat?
What?
She said it would be just a dollar.
Spoiler alert, everything's a dollar.
Surprise, it's just a dollar, just another dollar.
Welcome everybody, you are listening to the Chonilla Podcast. I'm Clove.
And I am Shirley, aka Brenda Paris. And you're listening to the Chonilla Podcast, the personal comedy journal of an interracial couple who explores the world from different perspectives and experiences.
And dollar store girl.
Are you a dollar store boy?
And it is Sunday, October 20th, 2019 at 6:25 p.m.
in the motherfucking Eastern time.
That's right.
Hey, Clove, you know my AKA?
Dollar store girl.
No.
You're the dollar store girl.
I'm Brenda Paris. No, I'm not Brenda Paris.
You work every Saturday.
No.
From 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. I'm gonna wait outside at 10 p.m. dollar store, girl.
First of all, you ain't gonna... If you wait outside for someone at 10 p.m. at the dollar store, girl, you're gonna be there for the next, like, till the morning.
You think so?
Yeah, because most dollar store
you think
closes
just
at 8 p.m. latest. 9 p.m. latest.
Okay, I had a different understanding of where you were going with that. Okay.
Oh, I don't know what you're going to do.
All right. Speaking of dollar store girl.
But wait.
Oh, go ahead.
I want you to know who Brenda Paris is.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
You know, I'm all about putting spotlight on amazing Canadian black folks.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you have a whole podcast for that.
Yes, I do. Black Canadian content creators.
Correct.
She's a senior advisor. Cabinet of the official opposition of City Hall in Montreal, Quebec. She's born in Montreal, Quebec.
Good for her.
And between 2001 and 2003, Brenda was sat on the board of directors of the Montreal Urban Transport Corporation.
Oh, yeah?
As a client representative, MUTC.
Good to know.
That's
Dollar
who
Store
she is.
Girl. Sorry.
She was president of their Ethnic and Social Diversity Committee and was instrumental in holding the MUTC's first forum on diversity inclusion in the workplace.
Not a Dollar Store girl.
Not a Dollar Store girl.
Gotcha.
That's Brenda.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was getting kind of chill, but I wanted to throw my laptop and be like, that's it, I'm done.
That's an ongoing theme on this show. Stupid equipment, I'm throwing you out the window.
Even you, like, you're telling me to go somewhere, open something on Drive, and I'm clicking and it's not responding, and
your laptop's on the way out.
It really is. And it's the ticker, and I need it for my job because I don't want to go in the office. Okay. Or I'll just grab a laptop from the office just so I don't
Now we're talking.
In the
now we're talking.
Okay. I wouldn't grab, but like, yeah.
Snatch it.
Anyway, but did a little cleanup, did a little, some uninstall, and it seems to be helping.
Sound like you said diddle.
Diddle. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I wanted to get to the word of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What is the word?
The word is piebald.
Piebald?
Piebald.
How do you spell that?
P-I-E-B-A-L-D.
P-I-E?
Mm-hmm.
B-A-L-D. Piebald.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't
Let me give you some context. The young pigs were piebald. And as Napoleon was the only boar on the farm, it was possible to guess at their parentage.
They were like tricked. They were bamboozled.
No.
They were killed.
No.
They were.
You're like so cold right now.
Oh, am I really?
Yeah.
They were piebald. Say that the sentence again.
The young pigs were piebald. And as Napoleon was the only boar on the farm, it was possible to guess at their parentage.
They're inbreds.
It's close. You're getting closer.
I'm getting closer?
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Okay,
has something to do with genealogy.
Okay.
it's an adjective.
Okay.
And it means having patches of black and white or of other colors. Or of other colors. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, as a noun, a piebald animal, especially a horse. So it's like two colors. Yeah. Yeah, the adjective piebald is a combination of pie and bald. Pie was the original name for magpie, a common European bird known for its black and white coloring.
Oh.
Bald did not mean hairless, but meant a white patch, especially on the head. Think bald eagle.
Mm.
So something piebald has a combination of black and white coloring and still mostly refers to horses, although the word can refer to other multicolored things.
Like our cat Lenny is piebald?
That is correct. He is piebald.
Oh. That's awesome.
Pretty cool, eh?
I wouldn't call him that, though. I don't want to insult him.
It sounds like a pejorative,
eh? It does.
You're so piebald.
Yeah, I can see it be used on people, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well. Yeah. So you had a good week so far?
Yes, it has been a good week. I got most of my zombie side paintings done.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I got the miniatures on the way, and I can't wait to put my pledge in for Zombie Side Season 2.
Mm.
I'm super excited about it. Or not Season 2, but Second Edition.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's on Kickstarter right now, and I'm going to go throw them a bunch of money.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I took baby to go get, you know, because she's prepping or making her own costume this year. I told the, you know, kids, you're gonna have to be creative. And so she's like being a painter. She went from wanting to be a sushi to now a painter. So she was on creative mode. Yesterday we started watching did we see Eli? Was it the same day?
Oh my gosh,
it felt like we watched two movies yesterday.
We were trying to do family movies, but she was like, bye, I gotta go paint.
I see her when she gets in that creative mode.
I'm the same way.
It has to get done. Like,
I'm the same way because for some reason, I can't sleep if it's not done.
Yeah.
Like, before the show today, I'm going over all the other previous shows for, like, before our, like, launch. and I'm just making sure things are tight, you know, the levels are right and all this stuff. And I can't like not do it because it's just it'll bore at my brain.
Yeah, you could tell it was she couldn't watch the movie. Like she would sit for a little bit waiting for her things to dry.
That's interesting. Bye.
Then she steps out to go do some spray painting, glue, hot glue, all that kind of stuff.
And I showed her the spot behind the shed.
What?
So now she's all like, I'm going to go spray paint back there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know.
Did you give her like, did you make put a little setup for her to spray paint? Or?
I showed her how to spray paint.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about it.
Oh, so now she's like, ooh, I got a spot.
Everything's probably covered in red
paint. I could see her put on a jacket in the winter and not let that, like, I'm going to spray paint. Oh, no. What have I done? I introduced her to spray paints.
To creativity and
Canadian
awesomeness. That's okay.
Yeah, but so I've been such a hermit again, and I don't know, I've had a rough week. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like.
Want to talk about it?
Well, Tuesday, I usually work on, I just couldn't, it was very hard for me to really.
Concentrate.
I was in a down road. I was hitting a depression. Yeah, I was kind of down on myself. And
okay.
I just kind of like frustrated. I don't know why, because I wanted to do my own like stuff. And then anyway, it's just
stupid
with the
job.
Kids. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, I had my mind set on something to go all out, and to be half in is eating at me a little bit. I think it's getting to me.
That's like what me and Tia go through.
What do you mean?
Well, keep going.
No, like, but you know, like I was planning to like all out in terms of my job.
Oh, quit.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And then to be all half right. in, okay. it's like getting to me a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. Just waiting and patiently,
right.
like time. It's
right.
it's just. I think it's starting to get to me.
It's a big pain in the
my
ass.
My performance is horrible. I have to admit, like it's really not that great in terms of like.
When you say that, it just means your performance is even better for us. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but it's
very selfish. But I'm okay with it.
No, yeah. Well, it doesn't right at the moment. You know, like anywho, it's just it's. I think it's like that, and then. One of the kids was sick, and then that threw me off.
I've had people try and do like, or like I've been on projects where some people have tried to do like two projects at once, like 50% on one project, 50% on the other, and it never works out that way. It's always 100% on both. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad.
True. So I think it's just I'm just trying to recalibrate my brain to get back into a balance,
the swing of things.
Yes. The swing of things, yes. Yeah.
That's it. But how are you feeling now?
I'm not anticipating to, you know, do the job tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All I can think about is Monday.
Because it's going to be so much catching up.
Gotcha.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So much catching up. And I'm just not. I'm not into it.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to psych my mind to like, just look, this pays the bill, girl. Being a, you know, this is an adulting moment I'm having that I need to be like, come on, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I can, you know, pay the bills.
Sure.
But yeah, no, it was a rough week. It was very like, ugh,
sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Oh, well. Is that you?
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's it. That
Good
is all
know.
I have to say.
Good to know. All right, before you get into anything, I wanted to follow up from last episode because we talked about, I guess, the phenomenon where when you hear like a new word, and then you start hearing it everywhere.
Okay.
Well, it's the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon.
Okay.
And the Bader-Meinhof is the phenomenon where one stumbles upon some obscure piece of information, often an unfamiliar word or name, and soon afterwards encounters the name subject again, often repeatedly. The more scientifically accepted name nowadays is called frequency illusion.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but, I've heard that before.
But Stanford linguistics professor Arnold Zwisky didn't coin that term until 2006, over a decade after Bader-Meinhof was coined.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. So it's the frequency illusion.
Okay.
That's it.
It doesn't happen very often.
This is
often.
The follow-up. Whatever.
I don't tend to find it happen often with words, but it does happen with things that you were that you would like to have.
Like, what do you mean? Oh, yeah. Like, oh, shit, look at that Lexus.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, everybody's driving a Lexus.
Exactly. But maybe there's a different word for that, for things like that you want or...
No, it has to do with objects. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Obscure pieces of information. Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. Cool. What'd you think of that movie we watched, Eli?
It was all right.
Yeah, it was kind of like, meh.
I'm trying to remember it, though.
Remember, he's this kid who you said he can't, like, breathe air because it makes him sick or something.
Yes. And it turns out he's, like, got a demon inside or something.
Spoiler alert.
Whatevs.
Yeah, and then that girl who kept visiting him, that was bothering me. I was like, dude, do you not see her clothes are not changing? You're being haunted. Hello. And then he's like, are you a ghost? Do you not see her? It's just, she's wearing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of,
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of rare.
Meh.
Yeah. And we got to see it.
So what, like, 2 stars, 3 stars?
Out of 5?
Yeah. 1? Two?
It's a 2.
2?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say 2 because I had a hard time remembering it.
Yeah, it was a 2. Mm-hmm. And then what else? We saw a movie, Little Monsters. That was cute.
Yes, that was cute. With
Lupita Nyong'o, where she plays like a kindergarten teacher.
Yes.
And this loser dude who's like a musician, or he thinks he's a musician.
Yeah.
Totally like digs her because his nephew goes to... His nephew's teacher is Lupita.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I realized I didn't put the thing behind
me. I just realized that too, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that was very, it was the first time I saw a zombie movie. So they're like these, she's a teacher. He's a loser dude of a little kid. He's like little kid's uncle, typical uncle. And then there's like a zombie outbreak at a farm that the kids are visiting?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and it was just cute how they kind of like, you know, it's so Australian. Is it an Australian movie?
I think so.
It feels like it's Australian based. Yeah, because it was, yeah. And what's his name who does the voice in, he does the snowman. He's the voice of the snowman in, oh, what's that movie? Frozen. There you go.
I don't know.
Yeah. The character that guy who...
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Anyway, he's in it and...
Oh, yes. Okay. He plays the child actor. Yes.
Character kind of like...
Olaf.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he plays Olaf. Exactly.
Gotcha.
But it was just cute to blend a little bit of horror, comedy... And horror and comedy, but kind of disturbing because kids are there.
Oh, yeah. They had like kids zombies all over the place. I was like, what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the kids dealing with the zombie. Sure. It was just so, yeah. I liked it. It was an interesting, yeah. That was good. Wow. And we watched a lot of movies. Felt like we, yeah. And then we watched It. Which, that was dope. Very dope. Highly
it was amazing.
Recommend.
Mm-hmm.
The new it, it makes up for the old It for sure.
Oh, the old miniseries with
there was a miniseries.
Yeah, it's the old It with Tim Curry. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh yeah,
that's what you're talking about.
Yes, the movie. Yeah. It totally makes up.
It was a miniseries.
What?
Yeah, it was on TV. It was a 6-part miniseries, I think.
You're kidding me.
Or a 3-part miniseries? Yeah. No, I'm not kidding at all.
What?
Yeah.
I thought it was a whole movie.
They're movie length, like it's pretty long.
Are you sure?
Yeah, we can look up the miniseries. Yeah, pretty sure.
Because what I saw was, so I guess I saw the whole all 6 together.
Maybe
that explains the black. Oh, fade in, fade out. I was wondering about that. Oh, that explains
it. Yeah, maybe it's only three parts, but I remember it being pretty long.
In my mind, I thought, oh, maybe they did it that way to prepare if, you know, if it's not that good, that at least they covered the TV portion.
Right, right.
But it was, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, it totally made up for that, for sure.
Yeah.
And the casting, especially of the character who played Eddie.
Yeah.
Best casting I've ever seen in a long time.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Like, how did they find that guy? Is he related to the kid? Like, how? I need to know.
It's his dad.
That's like, I'm thinking, is it his big brother, his uncle, his dad?
Who knows?
They like so look the same. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then the way he acted, it was just so good.
It's just well thought out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good job, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. In the news, Clovy.
News. News, I like news, 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 news. What is in the news? Yay, the news is not bad.
I can't hear myself.
Go for it.
This compressor is throwing me off.
All right, just roll with it.
In Canada, it's election time tomorrow. Since we're recording this on Sunday, it's officially the D-Day election day tomorrow. And here's our five key election issues you need to know in Canada when it comes to pharmacare and healthcare, the environment and carbon price, fiscal plans and the economy, immigration, and affordable housing when it comes to these five key points that keeps being brought up for the election. So, for pharmacare and healthcare, the NDP is committed to universal pharmacare program by 2020. That would cost $10 billion a year. The Liberal Party... The Liberal Party pledges $6 billion towards improving healthcare services over 4 years. The Conservative Party promises an annual increase in federal transfer to the provinces for healthcare and social programs. Leader Andrew Scheer has opposed national pharmacare in the past. The People's Party of Canada. So, okay, that dude is for the People's Party?
What dude? Maxime Bernier?
Yes.
Yes.
He's the People's Party's leader.
Yes.
I was wondering, who is this guy? I thought, is he Bloc Québécois? But Bloc Québécois is the guy with the glasses. Forgot his name.
Yes.
Whatever his name. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Wow. I cannot. When we were watching the debate, I just was like, ugh.
My favorite part was when Trudeau said, Bernier's here to say the things that Mr. Scheer thinks.
Mm.
I was like, yes.
Like, really thinks.
Yes. It's like saying, you guys are both fascists, but only one of you is willing to say it.
Right. Exactly. To own it and say it.
Yeah.
And walk in it. So they promised to replace the Canada health transfer payments with a permanent transfer of tax points.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Green Party committed to a national pharmacare plan that would cost an estimated $27 billion in its first year. And the Bloc Québécois committed to reducing the price of brand name drugs.
Okay.
When it comes to environment and carbon prices, the Liberal Party aims to...
Not like completely removing any price on drugs, just reducing the price.
Just brand names.
Just reducing brand names. Yeah. Not making it accessible for everybody, just making brand names more accessible to rich people. Got it.
Yeah. Reducing the price of brand. Yeah, exactly.
To be successful, like,
don't worry, rich people, you're still going to make money.
To be successful,
if you're in pharmacare.
To be successful in that action item, you could literally bring it down one penny and you'd be like, check, done.
Mm-hmm.
Made it cheaper.
That's true. We're good?
Yeah, we're good.
When it comes to the environment, the Liberal Party aims to reach net zero Canada emission by 2050.
Mm-hmm.
Conservative Party opposes the carbon price system and pledged to scrape it by January 2020. By January 2020 and place it with tax incentives. The NDP would keep the existing framework. It also proposed a $15 $1 billion investment in overhauling Canada's energy system. The Green Party committed to net zero emission by 2050 as well. The Bloc Québécois committed to ending fossil fuel subsidies and wants Quebec. It's just every time I say Bloc, you just start smiling. And wants Quebec to have veto power over any pipeline that would go through the province. The People's Party of Canada would scrap the carbon tax and remove subsidies for green technology.
Wait, they would remove subsidies for green technology?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So fuck going green,
yeah,
right?
Pretty yeah. much.
I think it's literally because it has the word green in it.
Yeah.
They think that if they oppose it, it's like a political stance against like the Green Party. Do you know
Maybe.
What I mean? Yeah.
So when it comes to fiscal plans and the economy, the Conservative Party promised a balanced budget in 5 years. The NDP will run deficits of $32.7 billion in 2020 and 2021 and will lower this to $16.6 billion in 2023-2024. The Liberal Party would increase the deficit to $27.4 billion in 2020 and would reduce it to $21 billion by 2023-24. They committed to raising also minimum wage to $15 per hour. The Bloc Québécois promised to cut the deficit in half and reduce spending. The party also has also pledged to ensure more money is directed to provinces. But, okay. The PPC pledged to balance the budget in 2 years.
It hurts the brain trying to make sense of that shit.
The Green Party plans to balance the budget by 2024 and to implement robot tax on companies.
What's a robot tax? Oh, so if you don't hire humans, you get taxed?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that.
So when it comes to immigration, the Liberal Party promised to modernize the safe third country agreement. Okay. The Conservative plan to renegotiate the safe third country agreement with the U.S. and put an end to illegal border crossing at unofficial points of entry. The NDP pledged to address gaps in settlement services for newcomers.
Can I jump in?
Yeah.
How long is this list?
We're almost there. Ugh. Just so you...
I've already made my mind up.
Did you? Okay, we'll go to affordable housing. Affordable housing for everyone. Okay. Anyway, you know what? If you want more, if you want to know exactly,
Thank you.
It'll be in the show notes.
Okay.
I gotcha. Sorry for the long-winded Canadian news.
That's okay. That's okay. I just didn't. I started getting lost.
You're like, I already voted.
I was lost in the lists that you were doing in terms, because it sounded like you were doing lists for each candidate, like what their platforms were. And it's like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Well, you know what? Here's some more interesting news.
Before you do that, I got some interesting news too.
Okay.
Yeah. So Air Canada staff are going to be replacing gender terms like ladies and gentlemen when greeting their customers and passengers.
What are they going to say?
They're committed to using gender neutral words like everybody, everyone.
Everybody. And then. Tout le monde. So when they say everybody, is the song everybody, everybody,
I think
everybody,
that's,
everybody.
Yeah, that's why they did it.
We'll start.
That's totally why they did it.
Yeah. Okay.
I think they bought the copyright and we're just hoping that people are going to be okay with this. And the Air Canada media spokesperson wrote, we will be amending our onboard announcements to modernize them and remove specific references to gender. And we work hard to make sure all employees feel like valued members of the Air Canada family while ensuring our customers are comfortable and respected when they choose to travel with us. And Air Canada is a member of the top 100 companies to work for in Canada.
That's dope.
Mm-hmm. I was at when I was at BioWare, they also were one of the top 100 companies. And if Air Canada is in the top 100 companies, that's a pretty dope place to work.
It's a dope place to work, but they're horrible for customer service. Jeez.
Great place to work, not a great place to buy.
For real. Oh, man. What I'm thinking, when the Air Canada people start, they'll play this song. Welcome to Air Canada, everybody.
Tout le monde, bienvenue Air Canada.
We hope you enjoy your flight to Jamaica today. Everyone, here are the rules for your safety. If you look to your left or to your right, these are the exits. Just make sure someone who's really strong can open these doors. All right?
And if you're not responsible to save people in the event of a crash, don't sit next to that door.
Okay?
Yeah.
I don't know why in my brain. Anywho.
So, Air Canada passengers, rock your body. Okay, everybody?
Did you have any other news?
No, that was it for me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's some interesting news that's happening, that happened in the U.S.
Okay.
In Arizona, particularly. Paul Peterson, he is the Republican successor of Arizona's most populous county. He was charged in Utah.
Accessor?
I think assessor. Okay, sorry. Okay. Assessor. No, thank you. Yes, he's the Republican assessor. He was charged in Utah, Arizona, and Arkansas with counts including human smuggling, sales of a child, fraud, forgery, and conspiracy to commit money laundering.
So an all-around piece of shit. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Arizona elected, he promised pregnant.
He was elected.
Yeah. He promised pregnant women thousands of dollars to lure them from the Pacific Island nation to the U.S.
Oh, boy.
Where they were crammed into houses, to wait to give birth, sometimes with little to no prenatal care.
Mm.
Paul Peterson, he charged families $25,000 to $40,000 per adoption and brought about $2.7 million into a bank account for adoption fees in less than 2 years, according to court documents.
Okay.
And yeah. So yikes. Basically what he was doing is
stealing people and selling them to other people.
He was telling people from the Republic of the Marshall Islands. Now, the Marshall Islands, I didn't know. I've never heard of this place before until I read this thing. It's located between Hawaii and the Philippines. So it's like it's in the equator and it's these tiny
flying
little
away from the U.S.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Gotcha. Yes. So it's Roger right. It's like these little pockets of small, tiny islands.
Mm.
And yeah, they're in between there, Hawaii and the Philippines.
Okay.
Or kind of like you have the Philippines here, uh-huh. Australia here, Hawaii here, and they're like in the middle there, right?
Sure.
In the dead smack middle of Pacific Ocean.
Okay.
And so right now, in that country, there are many people who are leaving, who have immigrated to specifically in the U.S.
Okay.
It's easier for them because of the number one reason people leave is education.
Okay.
Climate change is the biggest one.
Roger.
Right. It really affects, climate change is a huge effect
sure.
on floods and all that kind of stuff. So okay. A lot of people are leaving. So anywho, so what he and I guess his crew or whatever, they were promising pregnant women by offering many of them $10,000 each to give birth to their babies for adoption. And for them to do that, they'll have citizenship in the U.S. And under a compact, so basically, yes, so they can enter the U.S. and work without a visa. So they came to the U.S., work without a visa unless they're traveling for the purpose of adoption. That's when they would basically promise them for a visa and citizenship.
Oh, okay. So if they said, we're going to adopt somebody, they'd be like, come on in.
Yeah, they're like, just all you got to do is when you're pregnant, give away your baby.
You know? Is that all?
Yeah, is that all? And so, yeah, they did this for almost 2 to 3 years.
Ugh.
And
that means you can triple that count because, yeah.
Yeah.
If they know about 2 to 3 years worth, I bet guarantee you there's three times more that they don't know about.
Really?
Guaranteed.
So he had different properties in these states, mm-hmm. in these three states. And a lot of the women were crammed up, like, and obviously neighbors, people called and were like, what's going on? Like, we're seeing like these pregnant women going in and out. Some of the women were saying the conditions were like, you know, they had mattresses on the floor. Like it was human trafficking, really.
Yeah, that's bad.
And so a lot of parents who have adopted these kids are mortified. They're like, what, you know, but they don't have to, they're not going to have to give the babies back or anything, or their children back.
Yeah. I wouldn't give those babies back to those pieces of shit.
Yeah. That to the mothers or anything like that.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because they were concerned that they would lose their baby.
Right.
Or their children.
Right. Yeah. Like the mothers would be like, I want my baby back kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, hey, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you got to give the baby back, you got to give the baby back.
But the way they were doing it is they were going to the island under the guise of being, what do you think?
I don't know.
Being missionaries of the Saturday of,
I'm gonna go throw up now.
Missionaries of Jesus Christ.
In the Church of Latter-day Saints.
Latter-day Saints,
yeah,
yes.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. So that's how, yeah, that's how they were getting women into this human trafficking
that
scheme.
That is creepy as fuck.
Basically. And it was a huge adoption scheme, basically.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
Yeah.
I do have actually some things that I learned over the week. I learned that bigots keep misunderstanding the purpose of regulated speech.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a trans-exclusionary radical feminist named Megan Murphy, and she's being platformed by the Toronto Public Library, and when the city librarian, Vicky Bowles, was asked to reconsider platforming her, she was all like, nope. And she's trying to turn it into an issue of free speech.
The librarian?
Yep.
Yeah. I know the John Tory, the mayor of Toronto, was trying to kind of talk to to this person.
Yeah.
They're like, nope.
Yeah, this person, this Vickery Bowles, she clearly like agrees with some of these transphobic, you know, opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And she thinks that it's a valid opinion. And she thinks that you can, you know, it's that really kind of like gross centrist, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Where it's like, everybody's opinion is worth, you know, being platformed. It's like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a moment where you have to say no, like, come on, this is ridiculous. And I'm not like... It's like we're going to allow someone to talk at the library about the earth is flat. No, yeah. We're not doing that.
Yeah. Hey, we've got this guy who says that the Holocaust never happened. Let's
hear what he has to say. Exactly.
Let's hear what he has to say.
Especially like, come on.
Yeah.
There's just have to be boundaries when it comes to certain your free speech, where it's like, no, if it's, does it help progress the humankind?
Well, to them it does.
No.
Because they don't see certain people as human.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Ugh. Anyways, speaking of racist, our old Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, is spreading his specific brand of racism internationally.
How?
Turns out he's the head of an organization called the International Democratic Union, which is in the business of getting right-wing parties elected.
Oh.
Yeah. So they're like consultants. And they've been a consultant on Andrew Scheer's campaign.
Huh.
Yes. And from what I understand, the IDU sent some of their reps to the U.S. to study how voter suppression works.
Mm.
Yeah. Because historically, Democrats will win when voter turnout is high and Republicans win when turnout is low.
Wow. Yeah. We could see that.
So all they need to do is make sure that not everybody votes and they usually win.
Wow.
That is how conservatives move in this political forum.
And it's so interesting you say that
They talk about democracy, but then want to deny people's ability to vote.
But it's so
it's disgusting.
But you know what? You said Stephen Harper, historically, how long? He did how many? Three terms? Four terms?
I don't know.
He was there for quite, like, way too long.
Yeah.
Way too long.
Yeah.
And
he fucked some shit up.
Yes. Sure. And I remember turnouts were always below with him. Always.
Well, that's because he always made like the elections a surprise. The transparency was really low in terms of like, yeah.
You're right about that. It was like always like, wait, there's an election coming up?
It's the same thing with like the way Andrew Scheer would be like, you know, saying, oh, people know what my economic platform is, when nobody knows. Mm-hmm. It's that code word thing. You know, it's like, oh, we know, right? Mm-hmm. Right? We know.
Mm.
Wow. It's so gross. Anyways.
There's more. Hungary. It has banned same-sex Coca-Cola advertisement as they are they banned Coca-Cola advertisement of any type of advertisement that features same-sex couples, and they fined Coca-Cola $500,000 or no half a, not half a million half a million or 500k Hungarian forint, which is the equivalent of
$3.
Yes. Which is the equivalent of, for Canadian dollars, about $2,216.
Oh my God. I wasn't that far off. Okay.
So they're saying that the ban is for the protection of children and minors. That they value, the values we represent are expressed in our advertisement posts and messages, and we're just, you know, basically trying to protect the children's. That's basically what they're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. The public announcements are a great help in uncovering such advertisements. So a lot of people, and I guess the public, call them, like, you know, about these ads or posters or whatever. And Coke right now has confirmed that it is considering its next step in regards to the fine. I personally think what they should do is, I'd be petty. I'd be like, you know what? Okay, I'll give you the fine, but we're taking off the we're going to put you Hungary on time out, and we are removing every Coke products out of Hungary for the next year. You're cut off, Hungary.
Yeah. And then Pepsi swoops in and goes in instead.
I would call Pepsi and be like, are you with me?
And Pepsi would be like, yeah, sure. We're on the same team. Sure. You go right ahead and pull all your shit off the shelves.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's yeah, true.
No, it's Hungary that's got to do better.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Uganda, too, just passed laws like making same-sex like marriage intimacy illegal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's blowing my mind. It's like three steps backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My last piece of news in the world, in Haiti, protests are continuing in Haiti, particularly on Sunday last week. This was a first where not just Haiti, but many other countries, because of government corruption, that's the main focus why. In Haiti, there's major protest. It's because of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the hike of food. More importantly, the hike of gas is extremely high. And they feel like Jovenel Moïse, who is the Haitian president, they want him out. They said, you need to go.
They're done with it.
They are done.
Yeah.
Anyway, over the weekend, either this weekend or the prior weekend, and there was at the same time, same day, many countries like Haiti, Ecuador, Lebanon, France, Hong Kong, mm-hmm. Chile, mm-hmm. all these countries that are like all same kind of protests of, we are done. This is some bullshit.
Yeah.
Your corruption has to stop.
Yeah.
And you need to go.
Yeah.
You know, I know Lebanon is calling for a revolution.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I love it.
Like, I think they said 13 countries in the world were mm-hmm. having protests.
Wow.
Similar, like, different things, you know, but the foundation of it all is government corruption.
All right.
Yeah.
So I got a book review.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's not really a review, but it's just a catch up on the book that I finished this week, which is On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection by Charles Darwin.
Yeah.
And like I said before, it was like, it was quite the read.
Okay.
I learned a lot. I don't think I would read this book again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's written very old-timey.
Yeah.
And when after I read the book, I went to Khan Academy to look up evolution. And oh my God, I could have just...
What? Khan Academy had a full-on explanation modernized?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're curious to what evolution actually is,
just get Khan Academy app.
Yeah. According to Khan Academy, the basic idea of biological evolution is that populations and species of organisms change over time. Mm. Today, when we think of evolution, we're likely to link this idea with one specific person, the British naturalist Charles Darwin. In the 1850s, Darwin wrote an influential and controversial book called On the Origin of Species. In it, he proposed that species evolve, or, as he put it, undergo descent with modification, and that all living things can trace their descent to a common ancestor. And from what I understand, though, there was a guy named William Paley, and he wrote a book that basically explained all these natural phenomena, but through the eyes of like a theist.
Okay.
And from what I understand, this
was a theist.
A theist is a person who believes in theology.
Got it.
Yes. And I think a theist is a person who believes in a all-powerful being that has and interacts currently with the world.
Okay.
Which is different from a deist, who is a person who believes in an all-powerful being that does not interact with the world.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. So a deist is like a god that put things in place and everything kind of grew from there.
Yeah.
And like a seed. And a theist is like everything is being controlled and manipulated by.
And
yeah.
Got
yeah.
It. Okay.
All right. And I was going to say, yeah. So William Paley.
If I was a god, I'd be a deist. I'd be like, oopsie, done.
Yeah.
So, let's see how things go.
So I've heard that this book On the Origin of Species is.
I'm not saying I'm a god, just I don't want to get no DM like,
Okay. Wow. Oh my goodness.
But although we all have
your blasphemy is showing, Shirley. Yeah, yeah. Oh no.
Okay, sorry to cut you off. Go
ahead. That's okay. But from what I understand, this book On the Origin of Species is kind of like a rebuttal book, like a response book to William Paley's book.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's, and from what I understand, I'm not going to read William Paley's book. You can forget it. From what I understand, it's really long and really arduous, and it was printed like 50 years before Darwin's book.
Oh no.
So it's going to be in that old timey
yeah,
you know,
language
obtuse,
and, yeah.
Anyways. And Darwin also suggested a mechanism of evolution, natural selection, in which heritable traits that help organisms survive and reproduce become more common in a population over time. Hmm. So I enjoyed the book and the way it gets into the details of the theory of natural selection. But like I said, I won't read this again.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for saving me
check
some time.
Done. Yeah. You want to get in this Bible?
Yes. Are we still in the book of Joshua or we're done?
We're done. We're going to the book of Judges.
Ooh.
Bible scriptures. No, not to one now.
It's time for Bible Scriptures 90210. Woo!
Book of Judges.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
So, last episode, we finished up the Book of Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight's players are the Israelites, God, the men of the tribe of Judah, the men of the tribe of Simeon, Adoni-Bezek, the Canaanite king of Bezek, and the tribe of Joseph.
Okay.
So last time we finished up with the book of Joshua, Joshua ends up dead towards the end. And throughout the chapters, God played an active role in destroying all the enemies of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
God also allows a lot of slavery to happen with folks that the Israelites couldn't outright kill. And we were finally reminded that God gets super jealous when people worship other gods.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he rolls.
Yeah.
So let's do this.
I'm on, yeah.
Chapter 1, the Book of Judges. So, a little bit of a content warning.
Oh, boy. What? Okay.
It gets pretty murdery.
Really?
Yeah. So,
well,
just want you to know.
Well, it is Judges.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, in chapter 1.
You mean Book of Joshua was
No. Okay. It gets worse.
Yeah, and the book of Joshua, it tells you what they were doing.
Yeah. So I think the amount of times God has helped in a genocide is around the 40 mark right now.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's how much it's been, like, a lot of killing going on in the Bible so far.
Okay.
So chapter 1, book of Judges. I call this chapter "Damn Canaanites and Their Stupid Iron Chariots."
Oh.
Uh-huh. So the chapter starts by mentioning Joshua's death, and the Israelites ask God, "So who do you want to take care of the Canaanites?" And God says, let me see. Hold on. Let me see. Okay, good. Okay. Let me see. Oh, I know. The men of Judah can go and lay the smack down. The men of Judah looked around to the men of the Simeonite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the men of Judah mm-hmm. looked around to the men of Simeonite, the Simeonite tribe, and were all like, "Hey, you guys should help us out. And when we can help you get rid of them in your territory, we'll do that. So mm-hmm. we'll trade." And so the Simeonites were all like, "Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Let's do this, right? Let's team up."
Cooperation.
So now God supposedly made it very easy for the men of Judah and Simeon to kill everyone that was in the way of their supremacy. And the Bible notes that they killed 10,000 Canaanites during this extermination in a place called Bezek.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. They then fight the Canaanite King Bezek, who was a dude named Adonai Bezek.
Okay.
And he tried to run when he saw he was going to lose, but the two tribes of Israel chased him down and they cut off his fingers. Well, they cut off his thumbs and his big toes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So Adonai Bezek is mutilated and he's all like, "I did this to myself. I've cut off thumbs and big toes from like 70 kings and made them eat scraps under my table. Karma is a motherfucker and I deserve all of this pain." So the two tribes of Israel head out and take over Jerusalem, and they bring Adonai Bezek with them, but he winds up dying once they get there.
Mm, well, he's bleeding to death, right?
Yeah, through his thumbs and big toes.
His toes, yeah. Yeah.
Probably some big artery veins there that just...
Yikes.
So cruel.
Wow.
But the way they try and justify it is by saying, like, "Oh, he's done it to other kings.
Mm.
So it's okay that we do this."
Right. It's like the whole eye for an eye kind of thing.
Yeah. So the two tribes go into Jerusalem, swinging their swords around and setting everything on fire. Then they went towards the hill country, a place called Negev, to fight more Canaanites who were living in a place called Hebron.
My God. Leave the Canaanites alone.
Right, right. So when they get there, they kill someone named Sheshai. They kill a few people and these people were named Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai. Then they marched on to a place called Debir. Then the Bible tells the story of Caleb offering his daughter Aksa again to the man who can smite a place called Kirjathsefer.
Okay.
Whatever. And her uncle, Othniel, like I said before, he's Caleb's younger brother. And
DJ Caleb.
He kills a bunch of folks to be able to marry his niece. The Bible also tells the part where Aksa goes to Caleb on the donkey and asks him for more land, preferably land that has like spring water access on it. And Caleb like totally gives her what she wants. Then the Bible says the descendants of Moses went to live in the territory of Judah in a place called Negev, which is near a place called Arad.
Okay.
Okay. Lots of people moving everywhere.
Wish I knew. I wish there was a map.
So do I.
You know, I had a Bible when I went to Sunday school that had like the first, from what I remember, mm-hmm. like almost like the first 20 pages were like maps.
That's
like
cool.
A map.
That's
of,
cool.
And I remember clearly, like, it was all around Africa and the Middle East. And so that was very confusing for me.
That's very cool.
At Sunday school, when they're like, I'm like, but the map says this. Mm. But the pictures of the people, they're kind of light.
I don't get it. Something's off here.
Yeah.
So the men of Judah went to a place called Zephath, and which is located in the Simeonite tribe's territory, to kill all the Canaanites there. And they totally destroyed the whole city, and they renamed it to Hormah. Then they invaded cities in the territories of Gaza, Ashkelon, and Ekron.
Okay.
So the Bible tells us now that God was fighting with all of the men of Judah, and that they took possession of a place in the hill country, but at the same time couldn't drive out all the unwanted people that were there, because for some reason God wasn't strong enough to defeat men who were using iron chariots. Yeah. Yeah, this is a big, like, Bible verse in here. Like, because it goes over, like, God not being able to defeat something. Yeah.
That's,
It's very, yes, very eyebrow raising.
Mm-hmm.
So, God then gave the land of Hebron to Caleb to fulfill Moses' promises to Caleb. And Caleb expelled the three sons of Anak so he could settle in nicely. The Bible tells us now that the Benjamites had a hard time driving out all the Jebusites from the territories promised to them. So to this day, the Jebusites live with the Benjamites.
Till this day. Where is the map?
Yeah, where's these promises, God's, all these God's promises?
Just, I'm going to look this up. I'm going to look this up.
He's ghosting on his chosen people, but whatever. So God then went to fight with the tribe of Joseph to attack a place called Bethel.
Okay.
Before they attacked, they sent some spies, and the spies jacked this dude coming out of the city, and we're all like, listen, bitch, tell us how to sneak in and kill everyone, and we won't kill you and your family, you dig? And the man showed them how to get in, and they snuck in and killed everyone, except the man who sold out the city and his family. Now, supposedly, this man went on to build the whole city of Luz in a territory of the Hittites.
Okay.
Yeah.
The city of Luz, you said.
L-U-Z.
City of
Luz.
Of Luz. Okay.
In the territory of the Hittites. The tribe of Manasseh.
Manasseh, Mamakusa.
Failed to drive out the Canaanites from a place called Bethshan.
Okay.
Tanakh, Ador, and Ibleam, Megiddo. These are all like, I have such a hard time with these names of these places, right?
Well, it's kind
of complicated. The Bible now tells us that Israel started to become stronger and stronger and kept trying to drive out all the Canaanites, but couldn't.
Okay.
So instead, you know what they did? They enslaved them. The rest of the chapter breaks down the rest of the areas in Israel where the tribes failed to drive out the remaining Canaanites, but explicitly says that since they couldn't, that they enslaved them all instead.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think the city of Luz would be considered, I think, in the southern part of France.
Really? France?
I think so.
Oh my God.
I'm still doing some research here, but I'm going to look that up.
All right. So next time we'll hear the Israelites getting out of pocket with God again, and we'll hear about an angel reading the Israelites for filth. And we'll hear about Joshua's death again. And we'll hear about God getting so angry that he sells out the Israelites.
That's interesting. That wasn't too bad. There was a lot of bloodshed right there.
Aside from the 10,000 people.
Okay. That's the plate. And the lake. That's the plate.
Yeah. And all the 10,000 next time we'll hear. Oh, I already said what we're going to do next time.
Yes, email us. ChonillaLove@gmail.com. Let us know if you have any questions. If you know, if you have an idea and you listen to the show and you picked up some of the city names and you found out, like, where are the cities could be now? From what I found, City of Luz is possibly in the south of France. I could be wrong. Let us know. I'm leaning on I'm wrong on this one.
I would think so, too.
Same. That was fun. I like this new song.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's very testifying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the Book of Judges. But you said it was going to be like warning, man. It's not too bad.
10,000 people got killed, Shirley.
Oh, right. Sorry. Okay.
Shrug.
I thought you were going to be like, you're going to tell me that in the book it's like really gruesome and it's like gives you like.
I know. I was just thinking about the body count. Like a lot of people are dying.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Because they, you know, yeah. Okay, I'm going to promise you that land over there, but you got to go kill everybody in it first.
I need to know where all these lands are. I'm going to Google this. I need to know.
Well, think about it. Like it's
Book of Joshua and Book of Judges.
Yeah, I think Israel now is kind of represents that land.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they talk about God
and surrounding
and stuff like
and
that.
And possibly the surrounding
of course,
that too.
Of course.
Yeah. So there are 26 facts that will completely alter your perspective of New York City. But don't worry.
Oh, please tell me we're doing all 26, please.
I'm not doing all 26. I'm just going to do like 8. Okay. So in
how
the.
How about 3?
No, we're going to do like 2, 3, 8.
Okay.
Okay. It's not bad. 8 out of 26 is not bad. You want to take a break, though, before I go into the list?
Nope.
Okay, so here's the 26 facts of New York City. Well, no, 8 of them. That stood out for me anyway. So out of the 26, number one, about 30 people get bitten by squirrels in New York City every year. Them squirrels are no joke. Did you ever touch a squirrel?
No.
I had a squirrel one time grab something from my finger. Mm-hmm. Their nails are sharp.
Yeah, because they're like rats with fluffy tails.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like it digs.
Rats.
Yeah. Like it's sharp. And I was like nervous because sure. I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God. The nails touch me. Rabies.
All right. 7 more to go.
Out of this list, number 5 was there was one homicide on 9/11 and it still remains unsolved.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
These are facts about New York?
Yeah. These are 26 facts that will completely alter your perspectives of NYC, of New York
really?
City. Yeah. I never heard of it. I'm curious and I might Google. Do you remember the show Unsolved Mysteries? Is that back? That's a show I'd be willing to watch a reboot of, is Unsolved Mysteries.
Sure.
Really?
Super depressing.
Yeah, that's true.
All these people were murdered and nobody knows who did it.
Right, that's true.
Oh, and this mother was drowned in her tub
yeah.
and nobody knows who did it.
It's like there's no ending, right? There's
yeah.
no like,
no.
you don't know. Yeah.
It's Unsolved Mysteries.
It's Unsolved. Right. Yeah.
Grandmother
no
came
closure.
Home and her entire family was slaughtered. Nobody
yeah.
knows who it was.
Okay. Man, you're ruining
That's
a
fun.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
I liked that show. I really did. And now that you put it in that type of spotlight.
You're welcome.
I'm like, oh, yes, it is depressing. In number 8, there are 20.
We're at 8 already? Yes.
There are 20,000 people buried underneath Washington Square Park. You're welcome.
Like poltergeist.
Yes. So if we ever go to New York, we have to go to New York.
We're sure.
I personally want to see where that park is because I'm just curious. So 20,000 people are buried under that park.
Okay.
Number 10, approximately 1 in 38 people in the United States lives in New York City.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's highly populated.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 12, if Brooklyn were a city, it would be the 4th largest city in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Just Brooklyn.
Just Brooklyn.
Just the borough.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I think, when I read that, I'm like, now I think I know why I loved it and I hated it at the same time.
Mm.
Yeah. It's just people, man. A lot of freaking people.
Yeah, those are old memories. You should go back.
There, number 13, there are invisible shrimps in New York City's drinking water called copepods. But they're in mostly the majority of drinking waters and salt water.
Copepods?
Yeah.
Okay.
Copepods. And because of that, I didn't put this in the list. When that was found out, a filtered water system went up by 500%, like in terms of being bought by mainly the Jewish company, because Jewish people, because they were questioning if the water in New York City is kosher. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But copepods are everywhere. Like it's in salted water, it's in ocean, it's just there.
Got it.
But a lot there in New York City.
Okay.
So, yeah. Bottled water when we visit.
Okay.
We're probably drinking it right now and we have no idea. More likely we are.
Okay.
Okay. Number 17. The price of a slice of pizza has been nearly the same as the price of a subway ride since 1960.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And the last, number 24 out of 26, if you own a property in New York City, you can request a tree to be planted on your property for free.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
You're welcome. Anyone living in New York City and you haven't done that.
Get a tree.
Mm-hmm. For free.
Give back.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
It's probably needed, especially with that many people. As mm-hmm. much trees as possible. Yeah. That's it.
All right.
All right.
Are we done? Are we wrapping this up?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, then.
I really like the new song.
Do you?
Yeah. The new...
Shout Licks?
Yeah.
Cool.
I like it. It's chill.
I'm going to get those ready on the previous recordings as well.
Email us, chonillalove@gmail.com. Send us an email if you have any. Hey, man, we'd love to hear from you if you're an interracial couple and want to know how you met. What was your first impression? What did your parents or family or friends think about y'all's relationship?
What have you learned since being in a relationship?
Yeah.
Chonilla relationship specifically?
Yeah, so email chonillalove@gmail.com. You could find us on any social platform under Chonilla, or if you search Chonilla Podcasts. We are on the Facebook group all the time in the Chonilla Podcast Facebook group. That's the best way to interact with us. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Stitcher, CastBox, any podcast player that you have. Because when you leave a review, not only we get to read it, but more people will discover the beauty of Chonilla.
Yes. And I want to say big ups to Eric Kim. We went to college together, and he's super talented, and he's actively giving back to the community by holding drawing workshops for the youngsters.
Didn't you mention that last
recording? I did, but I didn't do it justice like this.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Do you have a quote?
I do.
Awesome.
If an election is worth winning, then there is someone willing to steal it. That's by Mike Roman, the Republican National Committee and Treasurer of the International Democratic Union.
Yo. You know what? I can see that.
That's Stephen Harper's company.
Dude. Wow. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Wait. You're still listening to podcasts? Well, if you love this episode of the Chonilla Podcast so much, just head over to iTunes or Spotify to subscribe and leave a review. I guess.